Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
All right, family, if you guys can please stand to your feet for the reading of God's word. So our scripture today that we'll be going through comes from Romans 8. So it says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord."
Come on, give him praise, everybody. God, we thank you that this is your word and your word is true. It's true of yourself and who you are. It's true of us as your church and how you call us through your love, and that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from this love. We thank you, Lord, that your desire is to speak to us today. Come and speak directly to your children. I want to move out of the way that we hear directly from you. So we make room for you to move in this place, in Jesus' name. Everyone shouted amen. Amen. We're starting a new series today called Roll Call. And the idea behind Roll Call is figuring out what the calling of God looks like for us individually, for us as a church, and how he calls us to fulfill this role within the call that he has for us. How many of you are interested in finding out what the calling of the Lord is in your life, right? So today I'm going to give us a foundation, lay it from the book of Romans today. But the title of my message, and this is dedicated to those of you who grew up during the 80s. Any of you grew up during the 80s? For those of you who don't know me, my name is Nelly, and I grew up during the 80s. So that's my, like, my 80s anonymous. And so, hey, I'm preaching, all right? You just made the podcast. I won't say his name. So for those of us who grew up during the 80s, the title of my message is, "Hello, is it me you're looking for?" Anyone know where this is from, right? See, when we think about a call, we often think, the first thing that comes to mind when it comes to a call is our brother Lionel taking the phone call. Don't you miss it? How many of you grew up during the era when during a song in the bridge, because the songwriter was too lazy to write an actual bridge, he would get the singer to actually just speak during the bridge? "Girl, it's been a long time." You know, because they ran out of melodies. So that's my theory as a songwriter myself, is that, you know, they just say something in a deep voice, Lionel. And so this is, for those of you who are younger, this man here is Lionel Richie. Maybe you know his daughter, Nicole Richie. But he is a legendary musician, the lead singer of a group called the Commodores, for those of you who grew up during the 70s, even older. But this whole aspect of understanding what a call is, you know, it varies for some of us. For some of us who prefer to stay indoors, the call may be something like a call of duty, right? Okay, all the people that are cheering, we'll pray for you after. You know, maybe when you hear the word calling, and especially in church circles, it's a call to arms or it's a call to take your post. And I'm not saying either one of these things is wrong, but I want to point it towards the scriptures. And today I'm going to be referring to a couple of books, obviously, aside from the main anchoring in the scriptures. But the first book I wanted to quote from a couple of times today is Henry Blackaby's book, Experiencing God, where he talks about the reality is that the Lord never calls the qualified. He qualifies the called. Now, this is true. But I wanted to get rid of one of the misnomers that often fluctuates throughout the body of Christ. And that is that your calling is your vocation. Your calling is your career path. And so a person like me that's in full-time ministry, quote unquote, because how many of you know, according to 2 Corinthians 5, we're all called to full-time ministry. If you're a follower of Christ, every single one of us, it's just your church looks different. Maybe your church looks like your office. Maybe your church looks like your workplace. Maybe your church looks like your home. But I'm going to unpack this again from scripture so that you begin to see it. Now, that doesn't mean that the work you do is not a part of your calling. Neither is your vocation, your calling, but it's a part of your calling. Okay? Are you with me? It's not the whole calling, like I'm called because I'm a pastor, and you're not called because you're not in a pastoral ministry of some sort. God has called every single one of us in this room that is a follower of Christ to great things, and this is all a part of his calling. The other book I'll quote a couple of times today is my man Timothy Keller, who says this: if the point of work is to serve and exalt ourselves, then our work inevitably becomes less about the work and more about us. Our aggressiveness will eventually become abuse, our drive will become burnout, and our self-sufficiency will become self-loathing. See, when we wrap up ourselves in the calling which looks like our work, we begin to wrap our identity up in our job. And so when our job is not as positioned an affluency as opposed to others, we feel less than. That's not the desire of God. Like some people would say, okay, I hold a high position within this firm. Or maybe some of us grew up in cultures where certain positions of career were more highly esteemed than others. It's interesting when you come to Australia, laborious jobs are considered highly esteemed. When you go to some Asian nations, these sorts of jobs are looked at as lower class in some places, right? You can just nod slightly so as to not expose yourself on this podcast. We've already exposed people. But I'm just here to tell you that that's not the way Christ values you and defines you and calls you. It's not to say that my calling as a pastor is more valuable than your calling as a minister of the gospel. In fact, if all of us are activated in the calling of God, how beautiful it becomes when the church begins to emerge and immerse this whole city in the presence of God. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to give you 8 marks of the calling of God from Romans 8. 8 marks of God's calling from Romans 8. And the reason why we've chosen Romans 8, for those of you who are not as familiar with the scriptures or the Bible, the Apostle Paul, who was probably the most influential post-Jesus Christian, apart from maybe, it's wrestling between him and maybe Peter, the Apostle Peter. But Paul wrote around almost 2/3 of the New Testament. And in terms of Christology and primary areas of Christian theology in the New Testament, he is where we anchor a lot of our understanding of this theology. It's in Paul's writings. And Paul's writings, in particular to the church at Rome, I would say is his magnum opus, because this is where we anchor a lot of our understanding of who Jesus is theologically. It's from the book of Romans and how Paul begins to unpack who he is and what he does through his grace and how our response is. And Romans 8, if we were to describe, like Jack Hayford says, of all of Paul's writings, the magnum opus would be Romans 8. It would be like having the Himalayas. If all of Paul's books were mountain ranges, Romans would be the Himalayas. And of the chapters of Romans, chapter 8 would be Mount Everest. I urge you as a follower of Christ, if you want to take the opportunity to really delve deeper in your faith, take your time to chew and meditate on Romans. I'm not just talking about brushing on it. Like every time you don't understand something, like chew on that sucker until you begin to understand it, because there's so much depth in the book of Romans. But we're going to look at Romans 8. We're not even going to look at the whole chapter, because even in the passage that Steph read so elegantly earlier, what emerged there was so much truth in just the 12 verses that she read. And so we're going to begin to unpack what that looks like from the vantage point of understanding how God calls us. Now, let me just say this. Often at times when we think about the calling, we think about my calling, okay? It's not my calling. First of all, it belongs to God. And secondly, he calls us collectively as the church, not just Ian Brisbane as well. We are a part of the body of Christ. And so he calls his church. It's a matter of what role we play within this calling. So I just want to lay that down as a foundation. Let's start here in Romans 8:26. It says here, likewise, the Spirit helps us. Let's just stop there. How many of you are thankful that the Spirit helps us this morning in our weakness? For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. Anybody been there before? Like you started praying, you don't know what to pray for. But the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now, some scholars who have unpacked this have referenced this to baptism of the Holy Spirit, being able to pray in tongues with groanings that man cannot understand. Yes, I believe that's part of it, but that's only a small part of it. I believe it's such a deep immersion in the Holy Spirit that you run out of words to say. You know, for the Brazilians here, you run out of Portuguese. Or my Filipinos here, you run out of Tagalog or Ilocano. So you run out of whatever Bisayan, right? You run out of whatever dialect you came in here with. You run out of English. You run out of Samoan, because how many of you know God is greater than your vocabulary? And when you immerse yourself in such a deep sense of the Spirit of God, when you run out of vocabulary, there's a power that comes, a power to begin to understand his will above your own. Often when people ask me, Pastor Nelly, I'm trying to figure out what the will of God is for my life. This is one of the factors I ask them. Like, have you taken time to immerse yourself in the presence of God with such a depth, knowing that it's the Spirit, it's the calling of God best found in his Spirit? Best place to start. Calling of God is best found in a deep sense of his Spirit. Back to Blackaby, he says, we don't choose what we will do for God. He invites us to join him where he wants to involve us. The issue is the church is too busy to hear the invitation, to hear the calling to himself. Any of you ever been in a situation where you've missed a call because the noise of whatever's going on around you for some reason drowned out the ringtone? Or maybe you had your ringer on silent. Some of us Christians have our ringers on silent. Don't even have it close enough to us to feel the vibration when God is calling us. So it's often the distance. If you're like me, you lose your phone, you need to put a tile on it or some device to just kind of find it. And that's often the way we spend so long looking for the calling of God when God's been calling us, but with the noise of life drowns out the fact that the ringtone and the vibration is happening all the time, and he invites us into this calling. It's a matter of if we are deeply in the Spirit. Let's continue. Many of you know this verse, this passage, right? And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. And for those who are called according to his purpose. Now, here's the misnomer about this verse. It gets often misquoted because people quote it out of the context of this deep prayer and this deep sense of being immersed in the Holy Spirit, where groanings begin to emerge, where you don't understand the words that you're saying because you just run out of things to say because he's that good. That's when God begins to reveal that all things work together for the good of those who love him and accord according to his purpose. You can't just say that flippantly. You have to understand the context of which it arrives to us, which is that we need to be immersed in the Spirit of God. We need to be so in deep in the presence of God. Does that mean that, you know, and it needs to be, because people will quote this verse and say, it's all good. It's all good, Pastor Nelly. It's all good, bro. That's what the Bible says. But it's only all good when you are immersed in the one who is good. The fact of the matter is that rain falls on both the secular and the saved. It's just a matter of if you are under the shelter of the Most High. That's when you understand all things are good. You face trials. Oh, you know, Pastor, now it's been so much harder now that I'm a Christian. Now, the hardship is you still want to play out in the rain. The desire is still there to want to go. And I hope you never forget, you don't catch spiritual amnesia to forget just how vile life was out there. The addictions, the things that we used to face, the trappings of that lifestyle. We begin to see, you know, Insta stories about how good that life is. Oh, I can't go. You know, when people start to talk about, oh, I can't go because I'm not allowed, because I'm a Christian. I'm not allowed. Like, everything's permissible. It's just a matter of what fruit you desire more. The fruit of the Spirit or some Adam and Eve fruit. See, the second mark is the call of God is primarily shaped by His purpose, not our gifting. I don't think I'm called because I'm not gifted in that area. How many of you have figured it out now that the calling of God is not shaped by your gifting? In fact, wherever God has led me, it's always been primarily about the people He leads me to, not the gifting that I have. And when He leads me to that place amongst those people, God begins to shape my gifting to fit how I serve there. There are gifts that are inside of you that have not been activated because you are not yet with the people that God has called you to. It's amazing how when you get around people who need the gospel, or you get around people that you need to help mentor and disciple, certain giftings start to emerge because you're in the Spirit. It's no longer you that lives, but it's you being utilized as a tool to serve the people. It's not about you serving out of your giftedness. I'll unpack that later in the series. You need to come back for that. But like, there's a lot more unpacking that needs to happen with regards to that. But check this out. Blackaby says, when you offer yourself to God as His servant, he first expects to shape you into the instrument of His choosing. He will always work in you before He works through you. 1 Corinthians 12:18 says it this way, right? That God places us in the body as He sees fit, not as Google says. It says He sees fit. Oh, I don't know if that's the right church for me. It's not meeting my needs. There's aspects of that are true. But when we become such a consumerist generation, when we enter into churches for what the church can do for you, rather than how you will submit your life to Christ and see how He might use you to be a blessing to others, that's how God designs and desires for His body to move. Check this out. I'm going to unpack this verse. This is the next verse. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. Let me tell you, the call of God was foreknown and predestined. This was even, you know, spoken about in the Psalms, right? And in Ephesians. Ephesians 2, many of you remember this. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now notice the progression here. You don't do good works to be saved. You are saved, and our response is to do good works, right? Because out of the abundance of His salvation comes this desire and this fueling and this calling to do good works. For we are His workmanship. I love another version says, for we are His masterpiece. Like His fingerprints, the fingerprints of the Master are all over our being. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Check this out. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Psalm 139 says that He created us in our mother's innermost being, right? He formed us. He formed us with destiny and with purpose. He has a calling for every single one of us. And the enemy would try to do everything he can to rob you of that calling, number one. Or number two, he'll try to selfishly propose a calling that has no effect in transforming the lives of other people around you. Because the calling of God always looks like transforming lives around you. But if he can get you just living your Christianity out in such a personal way that you don't even know that you're a Christian sometimes, if he can get you just to isolate yourself with your Christianity and live in this box of not being present in the world but not of it, and just hiding away with your Christianity, ineffective, then the enemy's already won. Because dangerous is the church that is activated to be the salt and light of the earth. And that is why God has formed us in our mother's womb. When you were in your mother's womb, and some of us grew up in situations where we may have been told that you weren't even, you're a mistake. You weren't even planned. Let me tell you something. God planned you. It doesn't matter the circumstances as to how you arrived on this planet. God planned you. God has a purpose and a meaning for your life. In fact, part of that testimony may be the reason why you were born, because there are more people within this generation that are born into situations like this, and your testimony is how they will overcome. By the blood of the Lamb washing over your soul and the word of your testimony, as you rise up in that calling that God calls you to. I'm here to tell you today, that is the sort of church that God wants to raise up. And again, not just every nation, Brisbane, but all across the city. Because we know that us as a church, we will not just take the city. We need to raise up more churches and plant more churches and see more churches emerge into this calling of abandoning consumerist Christianity and stepping out in the calling to build the kingdom of God, not our empire, but build his kingdom. Romans 8. Let's carry on. It says here, and those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Now, here's where it gets a little more tricky. And this is why I need to start smashing down a few idols when we begin to idolize our calling. Because we need to understand the call of God is to salvation, not to vocation. Vocation flows out of salvation. But it's not the primary calling. It doesn't start with your job. What are you called to? That's the way the conversation usually goes. Oh, I don't know if I'm called. Like, you're saved, but you're not called. Let me tell you something. From the moment that you were saved, you were called. In fact, in your mom's innermost being, you were elect. You were chosen by God. You were called. And he calls you by name and he says, come on. Oh, wait, I have to wait until I do leadership school and I have to go to, you know, some course or go to some seminary and then I might be called. No, you're called right now. You're called right now. It's like a you go down to the 10-pin bowling, right? When you are called, what God does in your salvation is he releases the bumpers. So you can't hit a gutter ball, right? There is no gutter balls anymore. And what he does is, as long as you're moving in the right direction, you might like hit one pin, but you get better at it the more you bowl. But there is no room for you to go into the gutter anymore. And by gutter, it doesn't mean hard circumstances. We all go through hard circumstances. But your aim gets better the more you step out and are released. You release that, like, I'm not holding my own agenda. I'm just going to continue to release the ball towards the pins that God has before me. Don't fall into the misnomer that you have to be clerical in ministry to be called. No, I'm here to tell you today, every nation Brisbane is going to be a church that if you call yourself a Christian, you will emerge in your calling. And that's not, you know, that's not a popular gospel here in Brisbane, to be honest. Not popular in Sydney and Melbourne. You know why? Because a lot of Christians would prefer, you know what, I just prefer sitting here and letting you do all the work, Pastor Deli. I'll do my job. But my job, according to Ephesians 4, is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. To release a church that takes seriously the kingdom of God. Oh, but I don't know how to preach. Like, start by immersing yourself in the Spirit, getting in the Word, and just learning how to tell your story and how God impacted. Just start from there. But every single one of you, in fact, there's so many, like, every single one of you can reach spaces and places that I can't reach. But imagine, I need you to imagine with your sanctified imagination this morning. Imagine a church where every single person that claims to follow Christ is activated to actually emerge in the calling, to advance the kingdom of God. As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Now you're like, oh, I like the calling part until you got to that part. Yeah. Unless this is New Zealand where we're going to eat roast lamb, I don't know about all this killing of sheep. Let me tell you the context here. Again, this is written to the church in Rome by the Apostle Paul. And Paul is writing this under extreme persecution, writing this to the center of the greatest empire at that time, right? The most powerful empire at the time was Rome. And they were also the extreme oppressors of Christians. And so the Christians within that epicenter of which the empire flowed were under extreme persecution to the level of being martyred on the regular for their faith. And so he's writing this from this context. Yay, we want to be called. But literally, you may have to lay your life down for this calling. And here in this Western world, again, we love to be called, but we don't love the price. Oh, I'm called of the Lord. And again, we start to unravel the gifts. You know, I'll tell you something. Are we going to keep it real here? Is that okay? Like, as a worship leader, I'm recognizing how old I am now. I've been leading worship now for going on to 20 years. I know. I look like I'm 20, but like... But you cannot imagine the number of times as I've traveled, and the number of times that people have come up to me and told me that they feel called of the Lord to join the worship team, of whatever worship team, and that's the reason why they should join the team. Never sang a song before, never played an instrument before, they're just called of the Lord. And my question to them often is, like, if you are called, how faithful have you been to practice His presence on your keyboard or sing some actual songs that are not karaoke, to practice this calling in private so that you can bring the calling to the blessing? No. I God spoke to me. Or songwriters that say, God gave me this song. I like what Matt Redman said. You know, Matt Redman wrote, he wrote Heart of Worship. He's written many songs, Our God is Greater, Our God is Stronger. And so he responded this way to somebody who came up to him and said, oh, God gave me this song. And Matt Redman said, well, God probably gave you that song after listening to it. Well, God probably gave you that song because He didn't want it anymore. You know, when we start to, you know, over-spiritualize the calling just because we feel like we need to be needed. And that's really what it is. When the calling actually looks like you crucified and Him glorified. It's amazing, dude, how many people think they're called of the Lord to lead and worship and treat the worship team like they're the backup singers, like Destiny's Child, right? Beyonce, and just swap the members at the back. Kelly, you can stick around for a little while. But like, you know, it's just like, you exist for me. The church exists to elevate my gifting. Don't you know how long I've been a Christian, Pastor Nelly? Like, no endorsement from the last church you got offended at and left. And then they come here and it's like, okay, Pastor Nelly, you know, I've been a Christian for 30, 40 years, and so use me. And I'll say, great. Can you help us, you know, serve in the obscure areas where you're not seen? No. I want your job. You know, I want to hold the microphone. I believe I'm called to preach. You don't know how many people talk to me about having a call to preaching and have not made a single disciple. Like, learn to preach to one person before God entrusts you with the masses. Why not? You know, why are we looking for the platform? The platform is the cross. Die. You want the platform? Die. The call towards God is a call to die to ourselves. Many of you have heard the joke, right? Guy comes from another country, joins the army, Australian army, and he's lining up and goes to the first guy. Did you come here to die? Yes, sir, I've come here to die. Did you come here to die? Yeah, I come here to die. And then he comes to the last guy, just moved to Australia. Did you come here to die? No, I came here yesterday. It's for free. You can take that one. Tell it to your mates. God is calling us to die to ourselves. He's calling all types of people to die to ourselves. This is actually a legitimate calling to the British Army. This is actually a call that came out to the Army of England to try and recruit phone zombies, selfie addicts, me, millennials. Come off your couches and let's join the army. But we understand, right, that if, like Philippians 1 says, for me, you want a me-centered gospel, this is the one. For me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Mark number 6. The call of God is a call to victorious joy. Victorious joy. Romans 8, verse 31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Turn to somebody and encourage them with that. If God is for you, who can be against you? That's a rhetorical question. A rhetorical question doesn't require an answer. But just in case you're still looking for the answer, it's no one can be against you. Absolutely nothing and no one. But it's amazing how many Christians would even question the sovereignty and the omnipotence of our God when we know, we should know, that when we look in the vastness of creation and how Matthew chapter 6 talks about how the birds of the air, you don't hear them complaining, although in Australia they do sound like they're complaining in the morning. Where's my? I think it's different in Australia. It's like Finding Nemo, those seagulls. Mine. Different kind of birds here from the Jesus birds. But like, what I'm getting at, guys, is that you don't see lilies of the field stressing out, and yet they're clothed more beautifully than Solomon. You don't see birds stressing out. Like they're flying and they're mid-flight, they land down and go, oh, I wonder what I'm going to eat. I just keep flying. And that's God's encouragement for us. Don't be anxious for anything. But prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Again, getting in His presence. Present your request before the Lord, that the peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Tim Keller says it this way, right? In the beginning, then God worked. Work was not a necessary evil that came into the picture later or something human beings were created to do, but that was beneath the great God Himself. No, God worked for the sheer joy of it. Like when you are called of the Lord, you enjoy your job. I read a statistic, it's probably older now. I don't know what the numbers would be now, but I remember reading it about 15 years ago in the United States, that 85% of people that are in full-time employment in the United States did not like their jobs. And I would venture to say that the percentage is similar here in Australia. So that's to say that unless you begin to see the kingdom purpose in your job, you'll be miserable, always stressed. And a lot of the reason too, and it doesn't matter how further, because like sometimes people think, okay, I just need to further advance my career or step up the ladder, whether it's the corporate ladder or the positional ladder, in order that I may be fulfilled. No, you'll just grow more miserable. Your demons just grow more bigger. Until you see the kingdom impact that you can make within that organization, then you begin to understand, well, that's the real reason why I'm here. It's not for the six or seven figures. Man, seven figures is nothing. God's got more coins on His couch than your lifetime salary, and you have the nerve to think that you're defined by seven figures? Come on. You will have those seven figures, which you can't take with you when you die, and you'll have lived a non-fulfilled life. The objective of Christianity is always complete fulfillment to the point where you have to share it with others because it's His goodness overflows within you. Psalm 23, our cup runs over. When you see an overflowing cup, it wets everything around it. And that's the sort of person that God wants us to be. Not just accepting a job just simply because of what it offers us in terms of fulfillment through cash. Or fulfillment through what's on our business card. Or for those of us who are in education, you know, how many letters are after your name? No, you will be more miserable because no matter how many, you can have the whole alphabet after your name and still be miserable. You can have English alphabet, the Greek alphabet, Chinese simplified. You can have all of them after your name and still be like, who am I? Here's how good our God is, right? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him give graciously all things? See, the call of God has already been paid for. You don't need to work to figure out what the calling is. You just step out and say, God, I want to be used by You because the price has already been paid. Let's put it simply. If it's His will, it's His bill. There's some massive God-shaped dreams in this room. Some God-shaped dreams where you're like sitting there and you go, man, I've got this massive dream that I know God wants to use me to impact those around me. Maybe it's the launching of an organization. That's why I always love being around people who step out in this sort of faith. You know, people like Lily with My Story, or people like Ray and the team with Silverbacks. You know, that there's a lot of dreams like that in this room. It doesn't look like planting a church, but maybe it's impacting your community. Maybe it's impacting just starting a Bible study within your company. Maybe it's saying, God, what's Your will for me? Like, how do You want me to do it? See, you got to be careful that you don't develop the missional itch, that you feel like you need to go on a missional trip to scratch it, and then come back even less effective than when you went on the trip. God wants you on mission wherever you are. There's a misunderstanding that sometimes we go on a missions trip And then we're doing missions. And then we come back and live the rest of our 355 days completely ineffective for the kingdom of God because our mission was to scratch, you know, some trip to a city that we can't pronounce. I love you. Is that okay? This is where it starts to get real. I love this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Nothing, right? The call of God is found and marked by his love. Blackaby says it this way. Many people want God to call them to a big assignment. However, they try to bypass the love relationship. If you don't love those whom you're called to, it might not be a calling that God's endorsing, right? Straight up. The love relationship is why God created you. That is far more important to him than what you do. So anticipate that God will start working with you and drawing you to an intimate love relationship that is real and personal. When the love relationship is right, God will be free to begin giving you the assignments of his initiative. Whenever you do not seem to be receiving assignments from God, focus on the love relationship and stay there until the assignment comes. So here are the marks, okay? Feel free to take photos. I'll move out of the way, so unless you want. But here's the marks. I'm going to give them to you one more time so you can take a note of them and chew on them throughout the week. But the first mark is the calling of God is best found in the Spirit. Second mark, the call of God is primarily shaped by his purpose, not your gifting. The third mark is the call of God was foreknown and predestined. Mark four, the call of God is to salvation, not to vocation. Five, the call towards God is a call to die to ourselves. Mark six, the call of God is a call to victorious joy. Many people that say they're called of God, but can't smile. All right, Mark 7. The call of God has already been paid for. No need to lobangwa. In Mark 8, the call of God is found and marked by his love. Thankful for his love. There's nothing that can, turn to somebody and encourage them. There's nothing that can separate you from his love. Single people, don't use that as a chance. There's just be careful, right?
Nothing can separate you from
getting your Lionel Richie on again.
Hello, is it me you're looking for?
God is looking for us. He's looking for us to rise up, people of God. And if you're here and you're not yet following Christ, this is what you're called for. This is what you were born for. And you can continue this life chasing whatever it is that you might find fulfilling, but I'm here to tell you today, and not in a mean way. I'm just here to tell you with compassion from my heart that you'll never find it. You'll never find it at the bottom of a bottle. You'll never find it in that relationship that you're pursuing. You'll never find it outside of the will of God. You'll never find it. You can try. Look, I'm not saying, this is not The Village, you know, M. Night Shyamalan's movie, where, you know, like you walk out of the bushes and see road and, oh, sorry, spoiler alert, by the way. And you're like, oh, I thought we were in the 1860s. This is actually the, yeah, it's just ruined the movie for you. That's okay. You should, don't need to watch it. But like, it's like, oh, if I actually step out and go beyond the reef like Moana, there you go, two movie references within 1 minute. What will be there if I step on beyond the reef of Christianity? What will be there? I'm telling you, God says, you know what? You can step out beyond the reef. It's not like we're trying to shut you in. Whoa, that's called a cult. Like, you can step out, but I'm here to tell you, you will be miserable. You will be empty. And there is actually a rise in people who have tried agnosticism and atheism. We live in an opportune time right now. They've found empty. They've been found wanting. And they're looking for the church to be activated in their Christianity to show them that there is life found in Christianity. Not religion, but Christianity that's been activated by Christ. So the question I have for you today as we prepare to discuss just in our groups is, have you responded to the call of the Lord? If you have, how far in your calling have you come? So maybe use that as an opportunity to thank God for what he's been doing. But if no, would you like to respond to the calling of the Lord? And if you're a Christian within those groups, that's a great time to pray. I'm just giving you a clue, just in case you're wondering. Oh, no, I haven't been called of the Lord. Oh, that's great. Next person. No. Use that as an opportunity to pray for people, okay? Be a little bit spirit-led and use initiative. But let's ask and invite the Holy Spirit Look, he's already here, but when I say invite the Holy Spirit, it means we're giving him a place of welcome and enthronement in our discussion today. I'm going to pray for you now. But Lord, we thank you that you call us. Lord, you're not silent on this. You're not silent on this. You love us and you call us. And those whom you love, you call. Those whom you predestine, you justify, you glorify, you call. And so God, we respond to the calling this morning. Lord, I know that there's different responses that are taking place in this room. And we make room for that to happen today. Just come, have your way as we discuss and pray for one another. Be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.